Welcome back to Sports at the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street, 265-1886 is the number for Capone's.
Joining us now on Sports out the Wazoo from the Sporting News and Sporting News Today, college basketball columnist Mike DeCourcy. Mike, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great, fellas. How are you?
We're doing good. And I tell you what, basketball season's sneaking up on us. It's hard to believe it's here. But let's talk round ball for a little bit. We're in here in ACC country here in North Carolina. A lot of Tar Heel fans. And I think the question on all of their minds right off the bat is, you lose four starters, but can you repeat as a national champion?
I hope they aren't really asking that, you know, because I think that that's a lot to demand of a team that is completely rebuilt, although I think they certainly can be competitive, and I certainly think they have, in a lot of ways, it's odd that they probably have more high-level draft picks that will contribute to this team than they did on the team that won it. And when I talk about, I mean lottery level. I mean, obviously they had a lot of first-rounders last year, but I think that in terms of guys that are going to be called very early whenever they enter the draft, I think this team may have more. But it's a completely rebuilt team. It's not a completely the team is not completely conventional, let's say. To be playing Marcus Guignard as a shooting guard is not ideal for most programs, and it's not ideal certainly for the style of play that Carolina prefers. I think there are some things about the way they're constructed that are going to make it hard for them to win six games in a row in the NCAAs.
Keeping in the ACC real quick, Kyle Singler, a guy that you wrote about off and on the past few weeks, he went from being underrated last year to being a preseason All-American. Does he deserve all of that attention that he's finally getting?
I think he deserves a lot of it. I don't think that he's one of the, you know, the five guys that I would project as a first-team All-American. I think that you know, Kyle's a terrific college basketball player. I think he's very admirable. I think he's got a shot at being a first-team All-American. He could have a great year, but I think if you look at the way they're constructed, Kyle probably averages about 18 points a game this year, and then Shire and Nolan Smith probably in the 15, somewhere in the 14 to 16 range, both of them. And I'm not sure that he's going to be a dominant enough player, Kyle Singler, to be a first-team All-American. But, you know, I think he's going to have a great year. I think he's going to get some recognition that he deserves. And here's the other thing. They've got a chance to be, to surprise people. And he's got a chance to be a hero in that. And so I think that from that standpoint, maybe he does make first-team All-America.
Well, moving from one power conference to another, we'll move on to the Big East. And in my opinion, the Big East might have been, I'm young, so I'm dating myself here, but in my recent memory, that might have been the strongest Big East conference we've seen in a long time last year. A lot of turnover. You like West Virginia. What stands out to you with them that makes them a real contender at the top of that conference?
I think the first thing is they've got the best set of forwards of any team in the country. They've got two great forwards in Deshaun Butler and Devin Ebanks. No one really can match those guys. And then from there, you've got a depth at guard. You've got, you know, a coach who's won before. Now, I think that they've got a lot of the weapons that you need. You know, most of my competitors have picked Villanova, and I do believe that the league coaches or the league media, whoever, I think it's the coaches in the Big East, do their official projections. And I think they also selected Villanova. But I think when you look at it, I just think that Villanova lost a lot of veteran players, the guys who really made the difference in their Final Four run. They've got probably the most loaded backcourt in terms of depth. They've got six guys in their backcourt who could find a starting spot, who wouldn't hurt any team in college basketball if they were starting for them. Let's put it that way. You know, you can only play so many guards at a time, and then you also have to play some big guys. And their big guys are all very inexperienced. They may be talented, but you're relying an awful lot on those guys to win a league that, as you said before, is a pretty competitive league.
You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. We're joined by the Sporting News and the SportingNewsToday.com's college basketball columnist, Mike DeCourcy. Another team that interests me in the Big East is Georgetown, a team that people said underachieved last year, but they were kind of young. I feel like this year they could sneak up on some people in the Big East.
Yeah, that's why we have them, I think, 10th or 11th, and I think it was 11th in the country. I mean, they should be much better. They should be significantly improved from where they were. And if they aren't, it's going to be a disappointment. I think when you've got Chris Wright, Austin Freeman, and most importantly, Greg Monroe on your team, you better be good. And you know, I've said so many times that you know that I'm like a bad one-hit wonder record from the '70s that I just don't believe in the Princeton offense at that level. And we'll see. I mean, I think they've proven that they can win the league playing that style, but I think in the NCAAs it generally hurts them.
Looking out at the Big Ten, the team of interest really is Michigan. They go from 10 wins to 22 wins last year in the second season under John Beilein. Do you think they can continue to make that progress in his third season? How dangerous will they be?
You know, I think that Michigan is a team that made a lot of improvement a year ago, but I don't know that they added enough to their operation that you can expect them to be a great team this year. I think if you look at a team like Illinois, that really made a lot of improvement, a lot of unexpected improvement last year, and then added significant talent to their rotation. I think Illinois moves forward at a much faster rate than Michigan does. I think that that's, you know, I think that when you play a gimmicky system, the more your opponents see it, the less gimmicky it seems. It just becomes old hat. And I think that for the Big Ten, I think that Michigan's going to struggle to get much past fourth or fifth in the league. And I don't see how, you know, the AP, I think, picked them 15th. I don't see how you get to 15th in the nation by being the fifth team in the Big Ten.
The other team of interest really in the Big Ten is Michigan State. Seems like every year you can pencil them in for at least an Elite Eight berth in the tournament. You see that happening again this year, making another deep run?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people want to pick Michigan State to challenge Kansas for the national championship, and we certainly have Michigan State as a Final Four level team. I think that they're either going to win or finish second in the Big Ten. I think it's going to be a great race between them and Purdue, with maybe Illinois as a dark horse. But I think that what separates Michigan State from Kentucky, from Kansas, and you know maybe a Texas, is that high-level pro talent, the guy who you can just ride, and that will get you through the tough moment.
This is Sports Out the Wazoo. You're listening to college basketball columnist from The Sporting News and thesportingnewstoday.com, Mike DeCourcy. Moving elsewhere, we look at the SEC. Obviously, Kentucky's of interest. You have John Calipari coming to Kentucky, coming to Big Blue. You take a team with a lot of established talent, an all-star head coach. You mix in the best prep prospect in the country. Does it seem that this team is just destined to be a top-five team, or are people just being completely unrealistic?
Well, you know, I think people are being too realistic, because you know we had them at number two, and I think the AP had them at five, and maybe the coaches had them at four, or vice versa. I don't think people want to embrace it yet. I think people are much too skeptical. This is a loaded team. Plus, it has a player in Patrick Patterson, who is the kind of player that you know that can hold up any team. So I've been surprised that people have been as reluctant to embrace this team as they have. John Wall is a spectacular talent. I think that that's going to be an excellent team, and it may take a little while. I tend to think it won't, but I hope I leave the door open for that possibility. But if you look at their schedule, it's perfectly built for them to be outstanding early. So I think that they can build their case to be ready to play Carolina. And on top of the fact that they play Carolina after they've played six or seven games, they get to play them at home. So I think that the season is perfectly constructed for Kentucky to be a dominant team. And I think that people are being too suspicious of this program at this point.
I want to look at a team, really, who seems to have fallen off the college basketball map, and that's Florida. What is going on with that basketball program after winning two consecutive titles just a few years ago?
Well, you know, what happened, first of all, is that every single player who mattered from the second championship team left. Every single one. Maurice Spates was the only one left in the program who'd had any contribution at all, but then he cut out before, you know, when he was really still talented enough to make the NBA, but before he'd really gotten a lot done at Florida. And that's the worst thing that can happen to a program, is when you lose guys to the NBA draft before they really get it done. I mean, it doesn't, if you lose Kevin Durant after 1 year, okay, you're losing Kevin Durant, but he was player of the year. He gave you something. And then he left. But, you know, Maurice Spates didn't really give Florida a lot. I mean, he gave him an okay year. You know, they were in the NIT, and then he goes. That's a killer for a program. It really takes a long time to recover. So what happens a year after that? Nick Calathes leaves. Same deal. Hadn't really given them that much. Gave him two okay years, two NIT years, but really hadn't reached the level of his potential, hadn't reached the level where he had just dominated, and then he cuts out. That is such a huge setback for any program. It takes a lot for any college program to survive, to come back from that.
Mike, give me a team that nobody's talking about right now. It may not be great as the season starts out, but when the year ends, at the end of the year, we're going to say, where did that team come from?
Well, I live in Cincinnati, and I'll tell you right now, I've been over to see Cincinnati's team several times, and if they can avoid injuries and that sort of thing, which they haven't been able to do last couple of years, I think they'll be a team that's right in the mix for top 25. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Mike, I know a lot of teams haven't even tipped off yet, but at the end of the year, who do you think is going to be hoisting the national championship, and who do you think is going to be the national player of the year?
Well, we picked Willie Warren as preseason national player of the year, and I think it's going to be hard to know exactly what direction it's going, but I thought it was as good a place as any to start because he's the most talented upperclassman in college basketball. I think he's got a chance to have he's got a chance to average in the low to mid 20s as a scorer. He's also going to pass for assists as well. I think he's going to keep Oklahoma relevant, which is not going to be easy, having lost Blake Griffin and Taylor Griffin and some other players. I think he's as good a bet as anybody to win the National Player of the Year awards. And then I think the same league produces your national champion. Kansas, I think that the thing that I really like about Kansas is that anybody who follows college basketball knows exactly who's going to start for Kansas. I mean, and that was the same thing that was true 2 years ago. There are very few questions for this team other than the questions that every team faces about health and academic consistency, staying eligible, and I think that Kansas doesn't have any other questions. You know who's going to run the show, Sherron Collins. You know who's going to be the rock inside, Cole Aldrich. You know that Xavier Henry has to make jump shots for them. So I think that all of that adds up to Kansas having not an easy time of winning it because it's always hard. But I mean, I think the ideal setup for them to go ahead and be the team that holds up the trophy in Indianapolis.
Mike, sounds good to us. I appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk college basketball with us. It's always fun.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Mike.
And that was Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Interesting predictions on Kentucky, saying that they're going to be better than everybody's kind of saying. And also on Georgetown, saying, hey, if they don't live up to expectations, they're going to really be a lot of disappointments.
Well, they were a young team last year who underachieved. They got better talent again this year. They should be a better team. I agree with the Kansas thing. I also agree with Kentucky. They're loaded. They are stacked.
I agree with this Michigan thing, too, because 22 wins was pretty high last year.
They went from 10 to 22 in 1 year. You're not going to increase that. We're running out of time. Checklist. Check, please.
All right, fellas. Tim Donaghy got out of jail today. Your thoughts?
Welcome back to the NBA.
Yeah, only 13 months. Hey, you know what? They might need him again.
You think he's still got it?
No, he's never going to be a referee.
He's never gonna
ever
even
again.
Touch any court.
But you know what? His book, they're trying to get it out. It's kind of tied up in litigation. We'll see. Apparently, a lot of sketchy things about
David Stern's job could be in
jeopardy. He's calling out a lot of his former colleagues.
Uh-oh. Well, in 1842, Abraham Lincoln married the infamous Mary Todd today, if you're interested.
Big Abe Lincoln fan. Love the tall hat.
Yeah,
very tall
pennies,
guy, too.
Right?
Why did he need the tall hat?
Yeah, big Penny fan.
Yeah. In 1904, the first stadium built specifically for football opened, Harvard Stadium. How about
big
that?
Day in sporting
history. Ivy League legend.
Yeah, there you go. In 1939, the first air-conditioned car was displayed. That's pretty nice.
Thank you so much.
Don't know what I'd do without it these days.
Yeah.
In 1960,
not up here, though.
Yeah, well, 1960, Wilt Chamberlain, when he played for Philly, set an NBA record when he missed all 10 of his free throws.
Sounds like Shaq before Shaq was born. He was the pre-Shaq.
He was the pre-Shaq.
Or like me on the court, either way. In 1988, the first NBA game at the Charlotte Coliseum, Hornets lost to the Cavs, 133-93.
I cannot count to you how many teenage years were spent Friday nights, Saturday nights at the
Loved
Hive.
Loved going to Hornets games.
Great place to
Loved
go.
Loved it.
The Hive.
Right. And obviously the Hornets had trouble with the Cavs too back then. So, I mean, obviously Charlotte teams, it's something with
that's
Cleveland.
Actually the first place I saw LeBron. LeBron's rookie year, I went to the Hive when the Bobcats played there their first year. Got to see the King.
Nice. To finish up, guys, Stephen Colbert is sponsoring the U.S. speed skating team in the upcoming Olympics.
I hear they're going to have Colbert Nation written right across their rear ends. And you
that's
know,
unbelievable.
He wouldn't want it anywhere else.
And you know what the most unbelievable thing is? All the speed skaters, they love it. They're so happy that they're getting this recognition. Good for them.
I mean, if he's giving money to him, why not?
Would we be talking about speed skating otherwise? Of course not. So good for speed skating.
There you go. That's all
good
I got, fellas.
Good for Colbert. All right. We're out of time. We had a great show tonight. We're going to be back Monday. We're going to be talking some Southern college football. We're going to have somebody on from southernpigskin.com. We're going to be talking Armani Edwards. Does he deserve to be the Heisman? Monday night, make sure you tune in for that. Tons of great stuff going on.
Recap the World Series. See
That's
who's right.
right.
Who's wrong?
Phillies in seven. I feel it. We'll talk
Yankees
about it on
in
Monday.
Gazepas is with me.
We'll let you guys know what's going on with that. Also, UTC taking on the Apps on Saturday. And, of course, Mountaineer Madness Thursday, tomorrow night. We'll be there at the Holmes Convocation Center. Starts at 8:30. Before you get over there on the way there, tune in to 90.5. Brandon and myself will be previewing the entire season. Have Coach Peterson on, some of the players. Women's coach Darcy Vincent as well, some of the women's players. Going to be great. Mountaineer Madness.
Great talk with Buzz.
It's free, so make sure you tune in to that. Mountaineer Madness. Tune in on the way there, then stay there. Lots of free stuff. Come see your apps on the hardwood. This has been it. We're out of time. Sports Out the Wazoo. Check us out on Podomatic. sportsoutthewazoo.podomatic.com. For Brandon, myself, Kazepas, Brian Fisher hanging out with us tonight as well. We'll see you next week, people.